is money, honey. All we talk is money. All we talk is money. It's like bees to the honey. The Sauce Cast, baby.
All right. Hello, everybody out there in internet land. Welcome to the Sauce Cast. My name is Adam Sauzik. Let me just give a disclaimer before we start this show. I've been doing podcasting, social media, speaking in front of people for, 20 years when I started doing stand-up comedy. Then I got into finance. I was speaking on stages in front of hundreds of thousands of financial advisors. I got into podcasting with PBD. Never in my life did I think that I'd be talking about Christianity, transgenderism, and what's going on in America today in the White House. So I'm giving a disclaimer that are there people that were built for this? Yeah. But this is now my job. And thank you guys for listening. So let me just give this... other disclaimer, I'm going to be talking about religion, I'm going to be talking about God, I'm going to be talking about Jesus, I'm going to be talking about transgenderism, a transgender day of visibility. Wait till the end, because my friend Malik and I, we had a massive reveal this weekend, shocked the hell out of both of us, so stick around to the end for that, because we're going to... We're going to show them the goods at the end. But speaking about God, religion, Easter, transgenderism, especially as a straight Jewish male in America, what could go wrong? Possibly everything, possibly nothing. But we're going to be real. We're going to be funny. We're going to poke fun at it. We're going to be serious. We're going to run the gamut on this entire story. And we're going to do it with value and entertainment like we always do. If you can't tell, my voice is back. I was almost losing it at the end of the week. Got a steroid shot because we were filming at Model Volleyball all weekend going strong. My voice is okay. Saturday and Sunday. Somebody had to do the job of interviewing all the hottest models in Miami. I volunteered. They selected me. You know, life could be rougher. So today I'm paying the price for being in the sun, interviewing all the models, and again, wait for the big reveal. So here's the run of the show today, and we'll introduce some of the topics and we'll have some fun, Malik, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great time.
Okay. Yeah. Ready to have some fun?
Yeah, you got to always stay alert. You never know what's going around.
You never know what's going to pop out. Ever.
You don't know who's going to pop out, what's going to pop out. All who might above. Be who?
Anyway,
any of that.
Thank you guys for being here. So if you haven't subscribed to the Saucecast here on Valuetainment, please do so. This is what we do every Tuesday and Thursday. This Thursday, we're going to having a big political panel with men, with women, having great discussions. But today is about the big news that happened over the weekend, which was Easter also coincided with the Transgender Day of Visibility. Weird stuff. I was busy interviewing the models, and we saw the breaking news, and we had to react. We covered it today on the PBD podcast, this morning with PBD, with Cuomo, with the BizDoc, with Vincenzo, and myself. Amazing discussion, and now we're doing it here on the Saucecast. Here's the run of the show. We're going to talk about what happened from a political standpoint. Does this help the Trump administration or the potential Trump administration, re-administration? Does this help the Biden administration, the White House? The cultural effects of this, the societal norms being questioned, the cultural wars or the cultural rot, some may say. We're going to get into some stats, some graphs. We're going to do our best BizDoc impression. Wham! And see what we got there. Then we're going to... show you the Valuetainment perspective. Our writers wrote some articles. PBD made a tweet. He made a little speech. And then we're going to show you at the end what happened to us this weekend at Model Volleyball. And then, of course, I'll give it to you with the happy ending. With that being said, let's get ready to start the show. You ready, Malik?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah? I like that shirt. What does it say?
Say that money.
Love it.
Learn how to do that.
Love it. You know, I talk money. I talk business, I talk dating, I talk relationships, I talk politics, I talk culture, And now today, all we talk is trannies. Let's see where this thing goes. So thanks for guys for being here, and let's hit it. So Sunday, me and the team and I were at Model Volleyball down in Miami, interviewing all the models. We've done this a few times, but it's also Easter Sunday. And we actually had a question for all the models that we were interviewing, whether they were celebrating Easter Sunday or the Transgender Day of Visibility. We got some pretty wild answers. We'll show you at the end. But let's just start with the political ramifications of what is going on over the last 24 to 48 hours. So it started off as any normal Easter Sunday when Joe Biden in the White House tweeted, "Happy Easter." Cool. Two words. Nice little flowered picture. All good with the White House insignia at the top. All good. Happy Easter. No big deal. An hour later, they post on Instagram the following. "Happy Transgender Day of Visibility." It says, "Today we send a message to all transgender Americans. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. You belong." So they say, loved, heard, understood, belong. This, my friends, created an uproar. The Christians were saying, what the hell are you talking about? The trans are basically saying, I just want to be heard. I just want to be seen. I want to be understood. I want to know I belong. The Christians are like, yeah, okay, that's fine. Pick another day, buddy. The trans said, no, this is our day, March 31st. This is the day it's always been since 2009. Always been. The Christians are like, always been. This has been our day for about 2,025 years at this point. So get in line. So at this point, it has me thinking, okay, is Biden trolling Christians? Is the White House gaslighting evangelicals? Is the Biden administration going out of their way to specifically upset everyday Americans who are just trying to enjoy their Sunday? All these questions should be asked and should be answered. So what then continues to occur is the White House doubles down on Biden's Trans Day of Visibility. Here's an article from the Daily Mail. And words matter. That's where we're going with this. So here we go. A little breakdown for you guys before we pull that up. Since 2009, by the way, who was president in 09, Malik?
Obama.
That was Obama. Who was his vice president, Malik?
Biden.
Biden. So Biden's been in the know since 2009 of what's going on. Every March 31st has been honored by the Transgender Day of Visibility, which is the kickoff of the transgender movement. This is, I believe, the second year that has coincided on Easter. So White House spokesman Andrew Bates said the following. "As a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for," here it is, "bringing people together and upholding dignity and freedoms of every American. Sadly, it is unsurprising that Republican politicians are seeking to divide and weaken," again, "divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. President Biden will never abuse his faith for political purposes or for a profit." I told you to pay attention to the words. Here are the words that the White House spokesman Andrew Bates used to define what the White House and Joe Biden stands for. "Bringing people together, upholding dignity and freedoms," whereas the Republicans, in his mind, are using this issue to divide and weaken our country with cruel and hateful, dishonest rhetoric. Guys, it's 2024. It's election season. We know we're about 7 months away from an election, and the culture wars are just kicking off with Easter versus transgender visibility. White House doesn't retract any statements. Joe Biden doubles down on what he's saying. This is March 31st, is the day as it always been. The GOP catches wind of this, and like that, they pounce. For those of you that don't know, the GOP stands for the Grand Ole Party, which is the Republicans, which the Republicans is pretty much the MAGA party at this point, the party of Trump. But the Republicans, the Trump, the MAGA, catch wind of the transgender day of visibility. They said, hold my gay little beer, because we got to attack the trans situation that's going on here. The GOP pounced. Here's what Trump had to say. We'll kind of skinny this thing down. Trump said, this is from the Daily Mail, you can probably pull this up. Trump said, this is the culmination of a years-long assault on the Christian faith, and he finds it, quote-unquote, appalling and insulting. So those are Trump's words right there. Devout Christian and newcomer to the House of Representatives, House Speaker Mike Johnson said the following. The Biden White House betrayed the central tenet of Easter and, quote-unquote, called this act of Transgender Day of Visibility outrageous and ridiculous. Again, we're paying attention to words here from the politicians and the White House. North Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who, by the way, is number one right now, slotted in for the top VP pick, potentially her, could it be? She said, this has been ongoing for years, a years-long assault of the Christian faith. So clearly, they feel attacked, they feel appalled, they feel insulted. They found it to be completely outrageous. Vivek Ramaswamy, friend of Valuetainment, multiple podcasts with Vivek, been with this guy multiple times, Hindu. What I like about Vivek here, he's Hindu, I'm Jewish, neither of us are trans, neither of us are planning to transition, we're not Christian, we're just trying to bring some common sense to this situation right now. Vivek says the following, this is a slap in the face to every American. By the way, do you have his tweet? Show his tweet real quick. It's in the Daily Mail. He said, Joe Biden declaring the most holy day for Christians as Transgender Visibility Day is a slap in the face to every American, whatever their faith. Now the White House is banning any religious symbolism on Easter eggs. That's right. Little fun fact. Jill Biden, I said, no Easter eggs. We need Easter potatoes. We made fun of that on the PBD podcast. Potato in the house. We're in the middle of a war in this country. It is a cultural war, not an actual war. Very important to clarify. And take it from a Hindu, this isn't a Christian nationalist talking point. I agree with Vivek. This is not a Christian thing. This is a what do we stand for in America thing. Caitlyn Jenner, the reason that she's being thrusted, no pun intended, into the mix here is because not only is she trans, but she ran for governor of California. And she said, the only thing that you should be declaring on Easter is, quote unquote, these three words, he has risen. So that's where Caitlyn Jenner stands on this topic. Now, fun fact, I spent plenty of time with Caitlyn when she was Bruce a he. We all heard my stories about my Kardashian days. Interesting to see where Caitlyn lands on this topic. Is that a little interesting to you that Caitlyn Jenner, of all people, probably before did Dylan Mulvaney, the face of transgenderism, the face of cutting it off, stands on the side of Easter? What are your thoughts, Malik?
Yeah, I think that's a very valid perspective to go off of because, like, she's one of the first people to do it. Like, well, first recorded viral people to do it that's gotten famous for it. And, like, I would give her the respect of her, him, however you identify. I would give them the credit of being the founder of that modern movement was going on. So you have to take that statement with some validity, I think.
Yeah. I wouldn't say founder, I would say maybe the face. Maybe there's other body part you put in there. I don't know. But the point is, transgenderism has been going on for, I don't know, thousands of years. But now it is part of, especially with social media, and especially with the culture wars, especially in election season, at the forefront of what's going on in America. So that is the GOP response. From top to bottom, we ain't playing this game. They're using words like appalling, insulting, outrageous, ridiculous, an assault on the Christian faith, and a slap in the face of every American. And that's from a Hindu American named Vivek. As a Jewish American, very concerning, the divisiveness and the timing of this day. And we'll talk about that later at the end. Whereas the White House is saying that it is protecting dignity and freedoms and trying to bring people together, they're claiming that the GOP is dividing and weakening the country this way. Couple more little stories here when it comes to politics. That's the White House perspective. That is the Republican perspective. Let me give you some perspective from just some general old Democrats, Dixocrats, what's going on out there. Now, this is actually very interesting. In Georgia, there's a senator named Raphael Warnock. Now, what's interesting about him is that not only is he a senator, not only is he a politician, but he is also a reverend. Also a reverend. Here's what he had to say. Malik, I'm sure you can pull this up, or at least an image. He said, Republicans are trying to divide the country. There's that divisiveness again. Adding that House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican from Louisiana, thinks trans people are abhorrent. This is the opposite of the Christian faith. In a moment like this, we need voices, particularly voices of faith. Who would use our faith not as a weapon to beat other people down, but as a bridge to bring us together? There's the bridge versus wall analogy. That wall, by the way, starting to make a little more sense than it did in 2016. Little fun fact there. Don't just stand there and hold the wall. Get off there. So that's what a Democratic senator slash reverend has to say. So clearly that's where he stands on this topic. Look, I'm all for bringing people together. If there's anything this country needs, it's to be less divisive, less contentious, less argumentative. But is this the way to do it? Is this the issue that unites the country? Doubtful. Governor of New York, other than California, when I think of California, you know, and I think of what's going on out there, and we'll talk about this, I mean, probably the wokest state in the country, New York City, maybe the wokest city in the country, right? Maybe Brooklyn specifically. Let me know your thoughts on that. But the governor of New York, you know what she decided to do? She said, listen, you know what I want to do? Light it up. Light what up, governor? Light up everything in pink, white, and blue on Easter to celebrate Transgender Day of Visibility. All the kids these days are talking about, it's lit! Right, Malik? I probably shouldn't be saying that. I'm 40 plus, I'm the oldest millennial.
I don't think that's lit, but I get it.
Correct. That's where I was going with this. We're talking about being lit. I don't know if this is the lit the kids are talking about these days, Malik. But she's decided, she ordered that the New York State landmarks light up with pink, white, and blue on Easter Sunday to celebrate Transgender Day of Visibility. The landmarks include 1 World Trade Center, Empire State Plaza, the State Fairgrounds, and Niagara Falls. So safe to say, New York was lit for the Transgender Day of Visibility. So there it is. You got Republicans saying one thing. You got Democrats saying one thing. You got Joe Biden saying whoever knows what he's saying. I don't even know if he knew, bro. I don't even know if he knew. I think he's got his handlers. I think he's got his coddlers. Now, I'm not in the camp where I think Joe Biden is just a zombie and he doesn't know what he's got going on. When you set the bar so low that he can't tie his shoes or he can't tie 2 sentences together and he gets out there on the State of the Union and just yells at everyone for an hour and a half, you sort of lose credibility in that regard if you think he can't do anything. But do I think he's running the day-to-day, doing the tweets, recommending things, and fully understands what day it is? Probably not. I think if Joe Biden had his legit perspective of what he would rather focus on, Easter versus the transgender day of visibility. This is a devout Catholic. He famously goes to church, to Sunday Mass every Sunday. I think he would pick Easter 100 times out of 100. The problem is, who is in his administration? The woke DEI ESG administration is what's running the entire White House. So he's just running and gunning, and he's fallen victim to their methodology and mentality. So here's the finale on this segment. You got the message and you got the messenger. You have perception and you have reality. The reality is this. Biden is Catholic. He goes to Mass every Sunday. He's been doing that forever. The reality is Trump ain't going to church, bro. Trump golfs on Sundays, and we all know that. And if he goes to church, he'd prefer to be golfing. But the reality is also the perception. The perception is, in fact, that Trump is standing up for faith and family and Easter, and he's embraced by the evangelicals. Hell, he's selling Bibles at this point to pay for a lawsuit from a porn star. Yet he's the one being embraced by the evangelicals, and he's the one standing up for family and faith. Ironic. Then you have Biden, who goes to church every Sunday, who's being embraced by the woke trans community. Little ironic right there, don't you think, Alanis Morissette? So at the end of the day, every weekend, every Sunday, you know, I meet Meet the Press every Sunday, and there's a famous line. They say, who won the week? Who won the week? Who won the weekend? Was it Trump defending Christianity and family values and Jesus and Easter? Or was it Biden defending trans visibility and the woke agenda? I think you know the answer to that. I'll let you decide, but my vote of who won the week and who won the weekend and who won Easter versus transgender day of visibility was Donald Trump. And that's something to take note of. Where I want to go with this is... By the way, any thoughts that you want to add to this before we get to the next topic, Malik?
Yeah, I mean, whoever is in Biden's ear making all these choices, they're pretty sick. Because, like, I feel like they're taking advantage of the fact that he's not fully there or he's not coherent. And they know that. And it's kind of like they're using him to portray whatever ideology that they have that they want to get out there.
I don't disagree. But we'll talk about... my perspective at the end in the happy ending, because my perspective changed a little bit after that thing kind of showed up in my face at the end. So we'll talk about who's running the White House. Let me make a note for that. By the way, you're running some polls over there?
Yeah. That's my right guy, now, Malik. I just ran Who Won the Week, just to relay your question out there between Trump and Biden. That one just started. Yep. And then... another one I ran while we were talking is Trans Visibility Day on Easter, an insult to God. 84% said yes. So I think we're like majority of viewers watching this are on the same page that they probably could have either not done that at all or chose another day or just going about that differently.
We'll talk about that at the end as well. Choosing another day. So the polls you have going on are what?
Right now, who won the week between Trump and Biden? Yep. And we have... is Trans Visibility Day on Easter an insult to God?
And what'd they say?
84% said yes, it is an insult to God.
Very interesting. Moving right along, guys, thank you for bearing with me. Almost lost the voice. We're back. Sunburnt. But I'm working hard for you guys out there. Let's get into the stats. Let's get into definition. Let's get into facts. A lot of feelings were hurt this weekend. Easter, Sunday, Transgender Day of Visibility. Let's focus on the facts. As Ben Shapiro has famously said, facts don't care about your feelings. Let's get into some facts. Here's the fact. Easter, bar none, is the holiest day in the Christian religion. Number one. I believe number two would be Christmas. And then everything else comes far beyond that. So if you're asking yourself, you know, hey, you know, you talked about feelings, emotions. Yeah, I understand why Christians might be a little upset that the holiest day of their religion is being hijacked by Transgender Day of Visibility. Pick another day, as Malik said. So I understand that. By the way, what is Easter? Easter marks the resurrection of Jesus 3 days after his death by crucifixion. I think everybody knows that. But why is it on a particular day? I don't think people know that. Easter, here's how it works. So Easter was on March 31st this year. Sometimes it's in late March. Sometimes it's in April.
Next year is April 20th.
It's where?
April 20th next year.
So it's on 420 next year.
Yeah.
It's on 420.
Gotta get closer to God, man.
You know, you can't make this up. Like, how do you know that it's on 420?
I believe one of the guys in production was telling me.
I believe I know which guy it was.
It was Victor.
Interesting enough. Let's see if the weed heads are going to, you know, be blazing on 420. By the way, we'll do another episode next year on 420 when Jesus and the Bob Marley fans be
having the beef.
Huh?
We all going to be risen.
We all going to be high and rising. You high right now? I'm not low.
Nah.
Anyway, in all seriousness, here's how the date works. And by the way, as a Jew, you have to understand, we don't have a particular day. Rosh Hashanah is on a different day every year. Passover, the day that we celebrate, Moses, Exodus, Egypt, on a different day every year. Yom Kippur, dude, I'm checking my calendar. I got no clue. Is it September? Is it October? Is it December? We got no clue. At least on Christmas, you know. Christmas Eve, the 24th. Christmas Day, the 25th. You're locked in. You're good. But on Easter, you're moving, you're grooving, you're shucking, you're jiving. Here's how it works. The Easter always falls on the first Sunday after the full moon occurs, which is after the spring exodus. Good luck with that. But what they say is that Easter is one of the holidays that is called a movable feast, much like Ash Wednesday or Good Friday or Palm Sunday, where it's moving and it's grooving depending on the moon of all things or the spring exodus. So the earliest that Easter can possibly be is on March 22nd. So it was on the 31st this year. So it was sort of on the earlier side of the spectrum. The latest Easter can be is on April 25th. So next year, it's going to be towards the end of the month, 420, just blaze, all baby, will be Easter. So that's the date. Biblical definition of Easter. I think it's important to discuss this. The biblical definition, not of Easter, the biblical definition of a man and a woman is the following. And this is from the Bible. You didn't think that Saz, your boy, would be quoting the Bible today, but this is one of those episodes. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them, and God blessed them. So for the people who take this stuff very seriously, when it comes to man and women and two genders and two sexes and Transgender Day of Visibility, which is the culmination of man becoming woman or woman becoming man, newsflash, Christians take this very seriously. Very. The Pope said, quote unquote, God loves us as we are. As a Jew, I got no horse in this race. I'm not a Jesus guy. Jesus was a Jew. I'm not a Pope guy. I'm just believing one God. That's it. That's where monotheism starts and ends for Jews. But I understand my Christian friends, especially my Christian friends at Valuetainment, which we'll discuss where PBD stands on this, Tom Ellsworth stands on this, Vinny stands on this, all devout Christians, not very happy with what's going on. The Pope said, God loves us as we are. Now, in the spirit of good faith, we read some definitions of how it works in the Bible and on Easter and what Jesus has to say. Let's talk about the trans community and where they stand. Now, here's the definition of what it means to be transgender. Transgender is a person whose identity doesn't correspond with the sex given at birth. Now, there's a lot of terminologies and term that gets used for transgender. Here's a few, to name a few. Trans, transitioning, transition, oh, tranny, transsexual, bigender, non-binary, gender non-conforming, gender queer, the list goes on. The definition of transphobic, you hear this all the time. Don't be transphobic. Don't be a transphobe. What's a transphobe? The definition of transphobic, a strong prejudice against transgender. Now, I don't know anybody who's like, I hate them transgenders. I think there's people that are saying, don't upset my faith. Don't upset my religion. Don't question my values. And then here's where I stand on this. Leave the kids alone. We'll show some stats in a second, Gen Z stats. When you're 6 years old, when you're 8 years old, when you're 10 years old, hell, when you're 14, 15 years old, you are so confused. You have no clue what's going on. I wanted to be a dinosaur when I was 6 years old. Tom always talks about that he wanted to be a pirate. Thank God he didn't cut off his leg and poke out his eye and walk around with a peg leg and an eye patch. Thank God I didn't implant a Stegosaurus Rex into my back. You don't know what's going on. So when you're 6 years old and you think that as a boy you should be a girl and you start chopping things off, oh my God, the regret, I can't even imagine. That's number one. Number two, and I stand by this, and we'll show a video of the Marines and sports in a little bit. We'll talk about that. The men or natural born men who transition should not be competing against women. Let me tell you something straight up right now. If me and all my boys, five of my homies, me and Malik, went and played basketball against five girls who work here at Valuetainment, I don't care where they played, I don't care what they've done, we're going to beat their ass. We're bigger, oh, yeah. We're stronger, we're faster.
We're like the 70, we're like the 72 and 10 Bulls probably.
We're never going to lose. Serena Williams has come out and said this. She said, I'm the best female tennis player of all time. If I played the number 100th ranked man, he'd beat me 6-0, 6-0, 6-0. We've heard stories about the women's national soccer team, Olympic, playing against the best men's high school athlete soccer team. The men's team beat their ass. Men have a purpose. Women have a purpose. I'm not saying that everything is rigid and set in stone, but when it comes to bone density and body structure and hormones and testosterone and size and weight and everything about your body composition, men are just bigger, faster, and stronger. It is what it is. Are there exceptions to the rule? Of course. But there's a rule and there's exceptions. So I think there's a lot of people that get upset when men play in women's sports. We saw it with Leah Thomas in swimming. Can you pull up a picture of this girl on the podium winning, this person winning first place? This chick's like 6'5". I think she beat Riley Gaines in this race. It is shocking to look at. Yeah, go to the podium. Second, yep, there it is. Go to that picture. Okay, look at the size of this lady. Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, it's a giant. That is a man who transitioned, and she beat these two ladies. And first place goes to you, Leah Thomas. By the way, Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, do you know what she was famous for? Do you know why?
Oh, yeah, of course. He did. He was Olympic gold medalist in a decathlon.
He won the gold for the best athlete in the world. You competed in college. What did you do in college?
I did the decathlon in track.
You did the decathlon.
Yeah. I see why I turned into a woman. That shit's tough.
So, by the way, out of curiosity, Malik, as someone that, because you went to college in Cleveland.
Yep.
You competed in the decathlon. What was the highest you ever ranked competing against just the men?
Oh, against the men, I got second in my conference that year, 2018, and that was tough. That was a tough feat. And
then second in your conference.
Yeah, and then amongst the whole entire country, I probably finished like top 100. Not top 50, top 100, and that was still tough.
You're legit.
Yeah.
I mean, you won a college scholarship to what school?
University of Akron.
You're in Akron. There he is. That wasn't a gang sign. That was for Akron. You were second in your conference, and you were top 100 in the country. Now, Malik, athlete, you're about 6 foot. We're about the same size.
Yeah.
I probably got a little bit bigger of a belly than you, but we're about the same size. 6 foot, you're about 180. What are you?
Yeah, 180.
Okay. If you transitioned and you were a female competing against the females, how good do you think you would have done? What would your ranking would have been?
Oh, not to discredit any of the women track and field athletes out there, I probably would have finished. I probably would have been All-American. I'm not going to say I would have won because there's some bad athletes out there.
Yeah.
But I probably definitely would have been an All-American.
So meaning you went from second in your division.
Second in the conference.
Second in the conference. Top 100 in the country. What would your ranking have been in the country, in your opinion?
Potentially probably top 12 if I were to do my same.
Only top 12, bro?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be top 3?
No, I'm telling you, some crazy women out there. You'd be surprised. But just to, like, go for your argument, I would still, like, leap my competition.
Yeah.
If I were to transition.
So you would have gone from 100 to at least top 10, top 12.
Yeah.
Now, what sport would you say, dude, they got no chance, no girl has no chance against me? And what sport would you said, listen, a girl can compete with me? What would it have been?
I would say definitely if it were, like, some type of basketball, definitely. I would say, like,
in the decathlon.
In the decathlon, probably the 100. It's some fast women out there. So, like, it's hard. If you really were to look up, like, top world leading.
What would you have been first place in, and what would you have been in 10th place in?
Probably, realistically, I would, based off my marks, what I have, I'll probably still be 10th place in all of them because those women are crazy.
Malik,
crazy good.
Sell yourself a little bit better than that. Anyway.
I'm just being real.
Malik's
but
keeping
it, at the same
you know
time.
The,
like,
you know the segment Chappelle Show, when keeping it real goes wrong? Here's your opportunity to just dunk all over everybody. But you're like, nah, I ain't that. Anyway, with that being said, stay out of the sports, gentlemen. Stay out of the female sports and leave the kids alone. Let's throw a couple more stats out there. People are saying, dude, are you being overdramatic? Is this a little too much? Is this as prevalent as you're making it seem? Is this really that big of an issue? Well, let's just look at the stats by generation. So ask yourself the following question. Who cares more about what you think about them, an 80-year-old or an 18-year-old? I would say an 18-year-old. An 80-year-old could give two shits what you think about them. They're 80. They're knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. 18. They're graduating high school. They're entering the real world. They're going to college. They just went through puberty. They're on social media. They give quite a big of F's of what you think about them. That's why this stat is so shocking and so revealing. Can you pull up that stat? Here you go. So if you look at this, 7.2% of all U.S. adults identify as LGBT. But if you look at the meteoric rise in the red color, which is Gen Z, it has skyrocketed. In 2014, before Gen Z was even a figment in anybody's eye, the highest amount of people that identified as LGBT in 2014 were millennials at 6%. In 2022, here are the numbers. Traditionalists, who are basically 75 plus, they could give two craps what you think about them. Now, these stats, these polls, were not done in 1950, so that it's not like, well, when you were a kid. No, it was done in 2022. 1.7% of traditionalists identify as LGBT. 2022, baby boomers, basically my parents in their 60s and 70s, 2.7% identify as LGBT. Gen X, which is basically 45 to 60-ish, 3.3%. So this is the nature versus nurture question. At this point, it begins to skyrocket when it goes to millennials and Gen Z. So show the millennials. So millennials, which are in yellow, 11% of millennials identify as LGBT. That's in 2022. This was done a year and a half ago. Here's the most shocking reveal. Gen Z, the youngest generation, the TikTok generation, TikTok owned by ByteDance, owned by China, owned by the CCP, 19.7%, almost 20% of the Gen Z kids out there identify as LGBT. So if you're asking yourself, is this natural? Is this natural? Is this nature versus nurture? There's no evidence whatsoever, pull this back up, that this is natural. In 2014, the highest amount millennials was just over 6%, the highest. From 2014 to 2022, in 8 years since social media has come onto the scene and been prevalent with Instagram, and especially with TikTok, the Gen Z generation has been indoctrinated, and it's safe to say, and no disrespect, they are literally the gayest generation ever. And it used to be cool to be gay. It's cool to be gay. All right, cool. Trans is the new trend, and they're capitalizing on it. And we all know that Gen Z is on TikTok. How much of this has to do with TikTok? That's in America. That's in America. But what's going on all around the world? So how does USA compare to other countries around the world, specifically on this trans issue? Were you able to pull up that graph?
No, I wouldn't open.
Okay, you can even just show it for a second. By the way, 2% of Americans identify as trans, apparently. 2%. Now, is that high? Is that low? Let me give you some food for thought around the world. 2% in America. In Singapore, 3%. Brazil, also 3%. Germany, 4%. Thailand, 5%. We heard about those Thai ladyboys. And Switzerland, of all countries. Switzerland, 6%. So I don't even understand why that would be. Why would Switzerland be so high? Thailand, we've heard about the Thai ladyboys. The U.S., only 2%. So this is way more prevalent outside of the United States. You have any insight as to why that would be?
Maybe I feel like they might be a little more accepting of that in those countries.
Switzerland, pretty liberal country out there. Bottom line is this, and we'll move right along. We started the conversation with Easter versus the Transgender Day of Visibility. Do you know how many LGBT holidays exist? More than I can rattle off by the time we're done with the show. Here's a quick list that we can look at, Malik. You have that?
List of LGBT. Yes, I do. Hold up. Give me 2 seconds.
Pull that up.
Got it.
So if you can punch in just so I can see it. Okay. All right. We have in February the Aromatic Spectrum Awareness Week. Don't even know what that is. In March, you have the LGBTQIA Health and Awareness Week. Going down the list, March, Transgender Day of Visibility. That's the holiday we're talking about. Then you have the International Asexuality Day coming up in April. Hope you have a good time with that. April 13th, International Day of Pink. That's a day opposing homophobia. You have the Day of Silence, the Lesbian Visibility Day, International Day of Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia. May 19th, the Agender Pride Day. May 22nd, Harvey Milk Day. May 25th, Parasexual, Paromatic. I don't even know what these words are. The month of June, the entire month, Pride Month. Boom, enjoy your month. Stonewall Day, June 23rd. June 28th, International LGBTQ Plus Day. What's the difference between everything else with that? International Non-Binary Day. International Drag Day. September, great, they gave us August off. September, Bisexual Awareness Week. What's the difference between the other holidays? September, celebrate Bisexuality Day. What's the difference between the September 23rd and 22nd and the 16th? Then, just in June was the, what was it, was Pride Month?
Yeah,
Pride Now in Month. October, you have LGBT History Month. They get 2 months? October, you got International Lesbian Day, Coming Out Day. Hey, what a great day to come out. Pick any day, or especially October 11th. You got fluid days. You got visibility days. You got pronoun days. You got spirit days. You got awareness days. You got intersexual awareness days. You got another month. Entire month of November is a trans awareness. I do. November 5th, when we're voting, Transparent Day. We'll see what happens with that. November 8th, Intersex Day of Remembrance. November 13th through 19th, Transgender Awareness Week. And the coup de grace, November 20th, Transgender Day of Remembrance. Guys,
I just can't. I can't.
You know, I was going to wait till the end to reveal how I feel. The big reveal, literally. Those are how many days they have, and that's a quick search. They got how many months? They got June, September, and October? Guys, you know how they say, you're doing too much. Doing a little too much. Guys, you're doing a little too much. Moving right along. I had no idea. Malik, did you know they had all those days, all those holidays, all those months?
No, but I'm scared I'm going to be like labeled as a homophobic or transphobe for not remembering those. Like, if I see my fellow person out there celebrating those, I got to make sure I'm aware of it and I know about it so I'm not a homophobe.
Buddy, get your calendar. They're going on sale soon.
I'm going to need two calendars.
Holy moly. We talked about the political ramifications of Easter versus Transgender Visibility Day. We went into some definitions and some stats and what the calendar looks like. Now let's talk about the culture wars, because this thing is brewing and it ain't stopping in the culture. Everyone's favorite author, J.K. Rowling, has been thrusted into the culture wars. J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter, correct?
Yeah,
she did. A little too old for Harry Potter. But she has felt the brunt of what it means to stand for your beliefs. She's been canceled, I believe. I think they're calling for her arrest right now for just saying that a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and let's just kind of keep it like that. Here's a story with J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling dares cops to arrest her for misgendering trans people after a new woke hate crime law. Scotland's new hate crime law went into effect on Monday, that was earlier this week, banning hatred on the basis of age, disability, race, religion, sexual orientation, and trans identity. There it is. There it is. Trans identity. Cool. You shouldn't be hating on people on the age, disability, race, religion, sexual orientation, all good. But it's almost like, don't believe my lying eyes when the dude with a beard who wants to be identified as a woman says she a woman, you just want me to comply? I have to fall in line? I don't know about that. Here's J.K. Rowling's response. I'm currently out of the country, but what if I've written here qualifies as an offense? Under the terms of the new act, I look forward to being arrested when I return to the birthplace of the Scottish Enlightenment. Erasing the concept of sex removes the ability of many to meaningfully discuss their lives. So J.K. Rowling, she ain't kidding. There's no J.K. with her. She stands by this. By the way, here's some celebrities, as well as J.K., to publicly oppose having to identify trans as they see fit, using the words that they are mandating. Dave Chappelle, famously, he said to the transgender community, I am more than willing to give you an audience, but you will not summon me. He said this when they summoned him to be spoken to, not spoken with, at one of their amazing meetups on the calendar. You're going to say something? Mm-mm. Okay. Ricky Gervais, famous comedian who called out Hollywood, be the gender that you feel you are, but meet me halfway. Ladies, lose the penis. Interesting thoughts by Ricky. Pierce Morgan, who's doing a great job these days. I don't support the ridiculous notion of 100 genders and most sensible people agree with me. I would agree, as I think it was Jake Paul said, there's three genders. There's male, there's female, and then there's just the confused. Drake Bell, I think famous from, was it?
Drake and Josh.
Drake and Josh, that's your generation, bro. He said, sort of disrespectfully to Caitlyn Jenner, sorry, still calling you Bruce. To which the trans community, they have their say. They were celebrating in, of all cities, San Francisco at Dolores Park on Transgender Day of Visibility when most Christians were celebrating Easter. I believe we have some of the footage that they were doing on the Transgender Day of Visibility. Here's local coverage at Dolores Park with drag queens, disco balls, and pride flags on the Transgender Day of Visibility. Go ahead, Malik.
Celebration Sunday at San Francisco's Dolores Park, the day marking Transgender Day of Visibility, and by chance, this year also coinciding with Easter.
What a beautiful opportunity to cross-pollinate the worlds between religious experiences and so many queer people having really traumatizing religious experiences.
Transgender Day of Visibility started in 2009 and has been celebrated on March 31st since.
Without this day, it can make people feel invisible.
There he is.
And we just don't, there he is. We don't want that.
The face of
trans lives matter. They need to be seen. They need to be celebrated.
But backlash Sunday after President Joe Biden officially proclaimed the day, as he's done every year since taking office. This year, several Republicans taking aim at the president,
okay,
including House Speaker Mike Johnson.
We talked earlier about the political ramifications for this. So, you know, meanwhile, you have people in church, you have families, you have kids, you have Easter eggs, you have Easter bunnies, and then you have those people. Those people have every right to be doing what they want and how they celebrate their Transgender Day of Visibility. But I think there's a very clear distinction between family, kids, Easter Bunny, and some of these people. I'll let you be the judge on that. Right now we're talking societal change, societal perspective, culture wars, cultural rot, they may say. Here's some sports figures that had some very strong feelings on what's going on there. They say that politics is downstream from culture, that sports and music help shape culture. Well, I remember when in 2020, during the bubble, during the BLM riots, during George Floyd, the NBA bubble, NBA playoffs, my team, the Miami Heat, they went to the finals. That was the year that people were kneeling, people that were in the NFL, in the NBA. They had all the slogans, they had everything that was going on. There was one player who wouldn't, I guess, play into this, to use a play on words. One player wouldn't play into it, to use a play on words. His name was Jonathan Isaac, and he's a 7-footer stud from the Orlando Magic, and he happens to be a black man. I don't know if you have a picture of him. Orlando's Jonathan Eisen scorns Biden over the Trans Visibility Day, and he walks back his statement an hour later. Let's break down this story. You got a picture of Jonathan Isaac?
One second.
So, he's a follower of Christ. He's religious. He reads the Bible. He stands for what he believes. He's celebrating Easter, and he learns of the Transgender Day of Visibility. Jonathan Isaac, there he is right there. He scorned President Biden over arranging the Transgender Visibility Day to fall on Easter. But then he took his statement back shortly after finding out the holiday's been around since 2009. So here's the original tweet. They want you to hate, he says. We can punch in on that. This helps no one and only promotes division. There's that word again, division. They know exactly what they're doing. We should be angry, but we shouldn't lose the spirit of what tomorrow means. Don't lose focus, because he is risen and there is hope for all. So Jonathan Isaac, feeling emotional, getting his best, his feelings get the best of him. Religious, Christian, naturally upset. And I get it. But then he does his homework. He does his due diligence, and he comes to find out the following, and he tweets this an hour later. Show the tweet. And I actually respect this. In the name of fairness, Biden did recognize that the day last year when it didn't fall on Easter. That's important and to me releases the administration from the allegation of intentionality. Intentionality. Are they intentionally doing this? Instead of deleting the tweet like it never happened, this is my good faith retraction. LOL. Respect to you, Jonathan. I get it. He's upset. He's like, I'm celebrating Easter, but it's also Transgender Day of Visibility. Are you trolling me? Are you gaslighting me? Are you clowning me? Oh, wait. They've been doing this since 2009. All right. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. This isn't intentional. But it still doesn't sit well with me. So that's Jonathan Isaac, NBA player, right there. Then you got Megan Rapinoe, U.S. women's national team, soccer player. She's lesbian, and she stands by her community. Megan Rapinoe leads the cancel mob aimed at Christian player who posted detransition videos. So here she is attacking a Christian player. She singled out the U.S. women's national team player, Corbin Albert, for sharing a detransition video saying the following: kids are literally killing themselves because of this hate, prompting Albert to issue a public Instagram apology, which she said, I want to sincerely apologize for my actions on social media, liking and sharing posts that are offensive, insensitive, and hurtful was immature and disrespectful, which was never my intent. It's an honor and a privilege to get to play this sport on the world stage, and I promise to do better. So she's basically shaming a Christian athlete teammate into basically the views she wants her to uphold. By the way, little fun fact, studies suggest that suicide actually increases post-transition, meaning there's talk of people saying that not allowing kids to transition increases the likelihood that they're going to commit suicide. There are also polar opposite studies saying that suicides are actually increase after you transition. Basically, oh my God, what have I done? It's almost like you see the stories about when they're survivors of people who jump off bridges. They said the second that you jump, they regret it instantly. The survivors, not many survive. Interesting. I don't know. I'm not transitioning. I have no plans of transitioning. I don't have friends that have transitioned. But I know that there's a lot of mental health issues on this topic. I'll let the debate begin. But that's sports stars basically standing where they believe. Jonathan Isaac on one side, Megan Rapinoe on the other side. Do you have that video of the Marines?
Yeah.
I said earlier, you know, let the men compete with the men. Let the women compete with the women. Don't have biological men competing with biological women. But the Marines did a little project, science project, biological project of what it would look like when a female Marine competes with a male Marine. You want to roll that video?
We see this female Marine against this male Marine, and watch how it is a completely fair and equal battle. Do you see? See? Yep. Exact
we
same.
Saw that. Didn't work out so well. Again, men, bigger, stronger, faster. Jonathan Isaac, 7-foot dude, sick athlete, NBA. If he competed in a sport against Megan Rapinoe, who's like 5-foot nothing, 100 and nothing, how do you think that would work out? So sports isn't the only part of culture. Culture is also learning and school and family and the foundation and society. Here's some stories that are very troubling. Here's a story about kindergartners learning things that kindergartners or basically anyone in elementary should ever be learning about. So the story starts with, this is my vulva. And a kindergarten curriculum teaches 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds about HIV, AIDS, and gender identity. So in New York City, we talked about New York earlier, Kathy Hochul, Eric Adams, Bill de Blasio. New York City's public school curriculum is introducing children as young as 4 years old to topics like STDs, HIV transmission, and gender identity and AIDS. Why would a four-year-old have to know about any of this stuff? Any of it. The material includes a picture book that says the following. These are my eyes. This is my nose. This is my vulva. These are my toes. And these books are aimed at kindergartners. What the actual hell is going on here? Here's a quote from the book. Some girls have vulvas and some girls don't. And some boys have a penis, but not all boys do. Yeah, kind of all boys have that.
That's what makes them a boy.
That's
right?
What?
Isn't that what makes a boy and a girl a girl?
Listen, there's rules and there's exceptions. And people will always point to the exception of, I know one kid, this one time this happened. But the reality is, yes, boys have penises, girls have vaginas, vulvas. Weird what's going on. Not in my day. Not up in here. So that's going from the kids. Now let's talk about the grandparents. Here's an even weirder story potentially. Here's a report where a grandpa is now breastfeeding a baby after taking experimental transgender hormone drugs. You can scroll down. You can probably see a picture of grandpa over here, a.k.a. grandma, a.k.a. tranny granny. Duke University experimented hormone drugs included lactation, inducing lactation in a 50-year-old trans man. There they are, enabling him slash her to produce up to 30 milliliters of milk after a four-week treatment, with the man feeding his grandchild without apparent adverse effects. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's so weird. Like, nobody's going to question the fact that, first off, this, like, he's not supposed to lactate, and he is. And he probably has to have some sort of chemical to force him to do that. So now you're, like, dealing with, like, tainted chemical-filled milk on top of the fact that the milk shouldn't be coming from an old man in the first place.
It's going to come out as, like, powdered, dried-up milk. I don't know. Here's the statement. He states that she has a special bond with this baby for which he is grateful.
This is
sick. I don't, they're using he and she in quotes. I don't know. He/she regrets that he/she had not known about the possibility sooner and wished that the other transgender woman could know that the breastfeeding a baby can be a reality. Previous global experiments involving transgender women lactating used drugs causing irregular heartbeat in infants. Got a question for you. Doesn't take a scientist to answer this. Isn't it usually the mom that's breastfeeding the baby?
Yeah, that's the purpose of the mom.
The grandma?
Yes.
Much less the grandpa? Okay, I get it. If you're the mom, or you're even the trans mom, that's one thing. But this is the tranny granny breastfeeding the kid?
I'm grossed out just by thinking about this. Like, okay, old man breastfeeding.
There's a clip from Family Guy when Stewie is breastfeeding, and it should have been Lois, but it ended up being Peter Griffin, if memory serves me right. And the shock and horror on young Stewie's face when he finds out that he's sucking on one big hairy nipple sent all hell loose, reverberating throughout this young toddler's body. Is this it right here?
Yeah, we can't play the video, though.
We can't play the video. Can you show the image? Anyway, that's Lois Griffin's, not nipple, it's Peter Griffin's nipple. But Peter's at least the parent. We're talking about the grandparent breastfeeding. Malik, I just have one question. What is going on around here?
A charade, and that's going too far at this point. Like, this is what happens when you don't, when you don't have somebody in here to say, like, hey, this is just weird. Like, we every day we go further and further on the fine line of, like, with the line between weird and not weird is, like, getting finer and finer. And like you have to have that. Something has to be weird, and it's okay for it to be weird, and it's also okay for it to not be acceptable. And everybody's just like, fuck it, let's make everything acceptable.
So there's Ben Shapiro was talking about this the other day with our friend Dave Rubin that was on the show. And he talks about the Overton window. And the Overton window basically is what's acceptable from a policy standpoint to be discussed and introduced in society. You can probably pull up a picture. And the wider or shorter that the Overton window goes, the more or less that is acceptable. So there it is right there. So within the Overton window, there's terms like popular, which leads to policy. There's sensibilities. There's acceptance. But on the fringe elements, you have radical and unthinkable ideas that are so not within the Overton window. So the closer you get to the middle, you have policy, popularity, sensibility, acceptance. But then on the far spectrum, far ends, you have radical and completely unthinkable. Where we're at right now in this Overton window leads a lot to be discussed. Very weird. With that being said, let's get to our final topic here. So we talked about the government. We talked about policies. We talked about the Republicans. We talked about the Democrats. We talked about the Easter. We talked about Transgender Day of Visibility. We talked about the Bible. We talked about definitions. We've talked about nature versus, we talked about nurture. We've talked about what celebrities have to say, what celebrities don't have to say, what the trans community has to say. Now, I want you to hear what Valuetainment has to say. Because this is our network. This is our platform. We have a leader called Patrick Bet David who stands by his faith. We have a team here of writers, producers, editors that has creative control. We have hosts that say what we want to say. We are a free speech platform. So I want to run you through what each segment of Valuetainment has to say. And we'll give the coup de grace what happened with Model Volleyball this weekend. Start with the article that was written by our writers on Valuetainment. The name of the article is Biden declares this Easter Sunday is Transgender Day of Visibility, angering Christians. Who wrote this one? Was this Shane or Connor?
This was Shane.
My dude, Shane. Shout out to Shane. Shout out to Shane. Connor. We've got great writers. So if you can kind of highlight what it says there. They took a firm stance on how much the Transgender Day of Visibility angered Christians, right? It's all throughout the article. We'll put the link in the bio. You can go to vt.com. We're covering the news. We're covering all the issues, especially what's going on in the political season and the culture wars that are going on. Check it out. Great article about what happened on Easter, which culminated with the Transgender Day of Visibility. We got that. Cool? Got that article?
Yep.
You know, but we have a CEO, we have a founder, his name is PBD, who stands for things. And the company that he built, Valuetainment, I'm the first hire as a host for Valuetainment. I don't take that lightly, take it very serious. Now we have, I don't know, a dozen content creators and hosts of shows. So I went through the vetting process. I know what PBD stands for. I know what he believes in. And he's got a very strict belief system. But it's evolving and changing. And he would talk about what he prays for in his family values. And when he talk about what his family prays for is courage, wisdom, understanding, and tolerance. But he dropped the tolerance part recently because of how tolerant Christians have been and how accepting Christians have been with what they're willing to tolerate. Talks about love, lead, respect, and tolerance. But here's PBD on Easter with what he had to say about on Easter, the holiest day of the year for Christians, as PBD, as a devout follower of Christ, a Christian, I'm a Jew, he's a Christian, a Syrian, Armenian, what he had to say about tolerance, about it being a spit in the face to all Christians in America. Turn this up and play what PBD had to say.
This is why, as of last year, I stopped praying for tolerance, because of the things that's taking place by Christians being way too tolerant with the behavior that's taking place from the White House. Leadership at the top announcing that on Easter Sunday tomorrow, for many of you that will be going to church to celebrate, you know what you're celebrating, resurrection. The White House chose to celebrate transgenders, the 0.1% of America, transgenders, who in many cases are going through challenges both mentally and emotionally, but we're wanting to celebrate the 0.1%, not the Christian nation, not the Christian leaders who have done incredible things for this country, and the level of disgrace that this brings to us as a country, to the rest of the world, that our president wrote this and announced this yesterday for Sunday, is a spit in the face to many Christians around the nation, and you shouldn't be okay with this, and you ought to stand up for yourself and realize that this is not acceptable. It's time for Christians to stop being so tolerant with this type of behavior. By the way, this isn't a left, right, center thing. This is if you're a Christian and your life, God, comes before your political party, you ought to stand up. If your political party comes before your faith, don't do anything about it. You decide what you value more, how you vote or how you pray. If we get those orders right, the future looks bright. But if we stop fearing God and no longer wanting the favor of God, the future doesn't look as bright as we think it does.
So PBD didn't mince any words. I stand by PBD. That's our fearless leader. And he's totally entitled to say how he feels. This is the platform that he built, Valuetainment. I believe he tweeted that. He also tweeted at Alex Soros, who's the son of billionaire George Soros, who basically has been criticized for their open society platform for ruining traditional values and helping to elect far-left Marxist politicians or attorneys to destroy America and destroy certain elements of the conservative world. So Alex Soros, if you scroll down, on March 31st, on Easter, tweeted the following. If you punch in, Trans Day of Visibility honors the bravery and resilience of the trans communities. Let's stand in solidarity and work to create a world where everyone feels safe and accepted, continuing our fight for the rights of all individuals, hashtag Trans Day of Visibility. And if you scroll down a little bit, those are the trans allies in that picture. To which PBD retweeted or commented the following. Alex, you're not dumb. Punch in. Billionaire, Soros. Just look through the comments, which we'll look through in a second. Not one sane person supports your tweet. So you're either, one, trying to piss off conservatives on Easter. Two, trying to incite the next George Floyd type incident, aka violence. Something something darker. Which one is it? Scroll down a little bit. Now, can you read some of the comments? Can we go through some of the comments and what they had to say there?
Let me see. All right, yeah, let me load them. I can't load them here, but I'll load them on my phone and read them to you.
Okay. Well, anyway, we don't need to go through the comments because we're gonna go to model volleyball now. The comments were not supportive. They were, comment after comment after comment. This is ridiculous. This is obnoxious. This is spit in the face. This is disgusting. This is not what we stand for. This is anti-American. This is anti-Christian. Not one comment. Fair enough. That is Valuetainment's perspective. That is PBD's perspective. But then I have my perspective. So this is where I stand on this topic. And when I came into this weekend, Malik, as you know, I had one sole focus. Models in Miami. Yes or no?
Yeah, that was the goal.
That was the goal. Now, why was that the goal? Because every year for the last 14 years, my friends have thrown an event called Model Volleyball. This was the 14th year. Next year will be the 15th year. And excited to be a part of it. This was the event. Model Volleyball, Valuetainment, pop-up. We're filming. We're interviewing all the models, the celebrities. PBD was there last year. He did the opening coin flip where the police were played the firefighters this year. It's a great community event. It's fun, sun, friends. Look how sunburned I am. And I use sunscreen. There's me and our friend Natalia, if you ever watch the Sozcast, with Flo Rida, special guest, and the founders and creators of Model Volleyball, my friend Olivia Ormos, who was on the show a couple weeks ago, and my other friend Skylar Howsworth, having a great time. I believe we have some images of what we were doing there at Model Volleyball, interviewing some of the girls. You have any of that?
Yeah. Sorry.
Not the YouTube one. Here's some of the girls, the beautiful models. Who's got a better job than me? Nobody. Great girls, amazing conversations, talking about politics, talking about culture, talking about issues, talking about everything that's going on. Do we have that highlight video from Model Volleyball? Play that. Oh, I think there's a promo video and a highlight video.
Yeah, here's the promo. This is the highlight video.
This is the highlight video. We can't play it because it has music.
Yeah.
Play the promo video, if you can, just to kind of set the tone of what we were aiming for, and then we'll wrap up with this interview that blew my mind. So if you stuck around from the very beginning, prepare for your mind to get blown. Here is the promo video that our buddy did. That's Danny? No, that's not it. You have that, Malik?
Yeah, I got it. 1 second. Yeah, I got it right here.
Yeah, here's Model Volleyball.
Can't play the music.
No, you can play this. The world. Cool. You get the point. There's PBD doing the coin flip. It's just fun. It's sun. It's Miami. It's wholesome. It's not trashy. It's not OnlyFans. It's not sex workers. These are the biggest, most beautiful models in Miami at all the top agencies, male and female. And it's just a great time. I'm just setting the tone for the conversation. We interviewed, 2 years ago, I interviewed Vince Vaughn. Travis Scott has performed there. You saw me with Flo Rida. Mark Zuckerberg made an appearance this year, apparently. I didn't even see him. Celebrities, culture, everything's going on. But then this one situation happened. And Malik, you were there. And shout out to the team. They're bringing in models to have conversations. We're having genuine conversations. And I asked each of the models, hey, it's Easter. Happy Easter. It's also Transgender Visibility Day. Which one are you celebrating? Roll the tape.
Me.
Oh, we all see him.
And I am supportive.
Okay.
Turn up a little bit.
What are you celebrating this year, Easter or Transgender Day of Visibility?
I'm celebrating both. Because I am both Christian and transgender. And
what do you mean you're transgender?
Mm-hmm.
You're really transgender?
Mm-hmm. Turn it up. Beautiful girl.
What do you mean?
Thanks.
You were born a man?
I was born a child.
Yeah.
With a male body, yes. And then I transitioned later on in life.
Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Malik, 1.25.
You're giving me zero.
All around
dude
us,
vibes.
Almost like it doesn't matter.
But what do trans right? people really look like? There's tons of us that you don't. You. It's like.
Carmen, hold on. Let's back up a second here. You were born with male body parts.
Yes.
Boy, this is blowing your mind.
Blowing my mind.
Yeah.
I see you. So walk us through your transition.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean? Like,
I literally don't know.
Right now,
I still have my penis. It's not still here. But
you want to know what I have between my legs?
Whatever you want to share with us. Not everything, but
I'm not going to talk about it.
Just walk us through the transition.
Yeah, so I transitioned when I was 25 years old. I mean, I don't know. I became a model at 26. I was the first trans model at Elite Models in New York. I was photographed by Steven Meisel twice. I mean, I've done a lot of great things. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm also like an advocate. I do like trans outreach. I try to inspire the girls to like own who they are and like not be afraid. Don't hide it from anyone. There's no need to trick nobody. People are going to want to fuck you regardless. Like it's not that serious. And I support all women, you know, and that's...
So do you think that, I guess, what's the biggest misconception when it comes to trans? It's so contentious. People don't understand.
That we look like dudes or we're supposed to look dudely? Or
well,
like,
you were a dude at one point, so it kind
of... I know, but like, that's the point of trans. Like, my genetics, yes, honestly, play a big role. And yeah, like, we all look different. Everybody's body. I mean, there's biological women that have more masculine features and there's biological men that have more feminine features. So, you know, it's... I guess the biggest misconception would be that, like, we're supposed to look like a certain kind of way. Like, we're all different. We come from all different backgrounds, races, and all that. And so, yeah.
Pass it. Okay. Yeah. So, I wanted to show you that because, Malik, we've done this for the past 2 years. I've done this, honestly, every year. Real talk right now. Some of the most beautiful women in the world. Gorgeous women, yes? You got a girl, you love your girl, you respect your girl. But can you just say, just, they're very attractive women coming in, doing interviews. It's just, this girl walks in the door and everyone is like, we got a hottie, right? Out of respect. Everything
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's hard to ignore. Like, if somebody's attractive, they're attractive.
She gave me absolutely zero dude vibes. How many dude vibes are you getting from her?
None. Like, I was studying to see. I thought at first I thought it was a joke, so I was investigating myself.
Right. Like, we all found out live, like in real time, about that she transitioned. We had no idea. Look, I've seen girls, like actual females, with more hair on their body than this girl. She's like skinny. I'm sorry, like great skin, zero issues. Like, when I tell you, I was like, I literally don't believe you.
Yeah, I feel like normally, like, one dead giveaway is like the back and the shoulders area, and yeah. I didn't see like a dude back or shoulder.
None of it.
Like, it was scary.
That's the dead giveaway to you, the back.
Yeah, back.
The
shoulders,
dead giveaway
hands.
To me is typically the penis.
Yeah, well, okay.
But you didn't have that.
Yeah, but like all guys, if you really can't identify a trans and you really need to, look at the hands, look at the throat, shoulders, legs, all of that, you can tell. Like, you know a guy's body shape when you yes. see one, and this woman, man, didn't have any like telltale signs.
Any of that?
None.
So here's where I'm going with this. It's no secret. I've been in South Beach in the nightlife scene my whole life. Not a virgin. 100% of the people that I've had sexual relationships with have been women.
Cis women, you got to be correct.
Cis women,
not trans
actual
women.
Actual women.
Cis women.
But let me tell you something. That girl right there, every single one of you guys watching this thing, if you met her in person, would want to take that down. I'm just letting you know, straight up. You would have no idea. You would have zero clues. There were zero dude vibes. You know, you hear, oh, dude, I don't know. Not me, bro. You ain't fooling me, bro. That girl will fool you. Now, I will say that there's a wide spectrum when it comes to this situation. Wide spectrum. Just last week, there was some dude shaving in the female locker room, shaving his beard. Guilty, bro. You're a dude. Why are you in the female locker room? That was at a... Was it at LA Fitness? It was at a gym. It was famous. It was out there. It was all in the news. You'll find it. Then you have people like Dylan Mulvaney. He's clearly a boy. Pretending to be a girl. Prancing out there. Taking jobs from women. While still having his package intact. Okay. Then you have the Caitlyn Jenners of the world, who they went full, allegedly chopped it all off, went the full situation, redoing the body parts. The one girl out there that, Blair White, super attractive, but still gives a little bit of a dude vibe. And she's very outspoken about this. We're talking to her, possibly having her on. And then on the complete other end of the spectrum, the opposite of the guy with the beard shaving at the gym, is this girl named Carmen. And shout out to Carmen for being real with who you are. You would have no idea. And I have empathy for this person. She's been doing it for 15 years. But I will tell you this. She transitioned at what age? 25? Not at 5. Not at 15. Leave the kids alone. So, you know, they say that until you actually walk in someone's shoes, you don't know how they feel. I have empathy for this girl. I understand what she's going through. She went through the full transition. She was respectful. She was nice. She was so sweet. I'm not transphobic against her. I don't hate her. I actually enjoyed the company. It was a great interview. But at the same time, I do think that anyone that's going through a transition does have the obligation to inform the sexual partner of what's going on. You're not trying to get caught slipping. Fun fact, you know, because we were talking politics as well. Do you remember she said her boyfriend was? Hardcore conservative, Trump love and MAGA guy. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. And she described what they do and what he likes to do as well.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. But the point is, I feel like it was important to highlight this interview because it completely caught me off guard, as it did everybody else. Shout out to her, and shout out to you guys sticking around watching this.
Yeah, but this is like a realistic thing, though. Like, this happens in the real world. Like, this can happen to you right now. You in Miami, you having a good time, you have a couple of drinks, you go, you see a pretty girl, you talking to her at the bar, and then you just don't know what you're, like, into. So I feel like people who go on this transition period, as long as they're, like, I feel like it's respectable if you kind of own up to it and you don't try to deceive people, because that can lead to a lot of horrible things. Like, you see trans woman was murdered this and murdered that, and I'm not saying murder is I'm not justifying the murder of these people or promoting any hate or harm towards these people, but you have to, like, you have to give people that respect to do that, because if you tell them afterwards, you don't know what somebody's response could be. And, like, not justifying, once again, that person's response is their response in that state of mind that they're in. So, like, in order to avoid that and then protect your safety as well and everybody else's safety, is just be fully open and transparent with those things. Because maybe that person might think of it as a little weird, like, oh, I used to be a man. Okay, I guess, because they might be a widow themselves, or they just might be like, oh, like, hell no, like, that's not what I want to do. I'm not interested in that. Respectfully, I would like to keep my distance. And then maybe if you have more of that, you have a lot more tolerance as well.
Well said, Malik. So just stay with your girl, bro. Don't get caught slipping.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Never catch me slipping.
Here's what I'll say, and we'll wrap up with the happy ending. If we can go back to that Joe Biden Instagram post about Transgender Day of Visibility, as a callback, what they say in the comedy world.
Second.
So.
Got it.
He said Happy Easter, and then it was a simple tweet, Happy Easter, and then the Biden White House said, today we send this message to all transgender Americans. You are loved. You are heard. You are understood. You belong. And one of the things they say is you are seen. Okay. To my friends in the trans community, if your goal is to be seen, to be loved, to be heard, to be understood, to belong, the number one thing that you should do is not go out of your way to be hated. Nobody wakes up and says, time to hate some people today. I guess some people may. They're called very hateful people. But your average American is not doing that. But if you don't want people to hate you or hate what you stand for, don't do things to make people hate you. Don't incite issues. Don't go out of your way to create issues. So what am I getting at here? We just saw the list of how many holidays the LGBTQ trans community has. Can you pull that up real quick? Here's my recommendation to the trans community. Christians have Easter. and they got Christmas. What I would do if I were you, I would go out of my way to make sure that Transgender Day of Visibility never falls on Easter. Now you might be saying, why? Why would I want to do that? We have the right to belong to. We have the right to be accepted to. Here's the reality. Christians, everyday conservatives, Americans, people that love Jesus, people that are religious, are never going to accept that that is equally your day as it is Jesus's day. I'm sorry. This is coming from a Jew who does not celebrate Easter and is not trans. I don't have a horse in this race, but I do have a horse in the race that is called America. And I do stand for what I think is right, and I do stand for what I think is the best outcome for most Americans as a Judeo-Christian civilization that was founded by our founding fathers on Judeo-Christian values and the First Amendment. To my trans community friends, I don't even know who your leader is. Take me to your leader. Change the day. If there's ever a possibility that one of these holidays falls on the holiest holiday for Christians, otherwise known as Easter, change your made-up day. Christians have had this day for over 2,000 years, and it ain't stopping. You have show that list again?
1 second.
You got 100+ literal made-up holidays. Give the Christians their day. If you want to be seen, heard, loved, understood, belong, start with not pissing off the majority of people in America. Simple suggestion. Simple suggestion. If you want to go out of your way to cause divisiveness, hate, incitement, God forbid violence, keep the day on Easter. Or keep the day that it could potentially fall on Easter in the future. This is a losing proposition for that community. And I encourage whoever made the holiday, if you ever get wind of this, just change the day. Christians are not offended by the fact that this day exists. They're offended by the fact that it is existing on the holiest day of the year to Christians. They should not have to compete their holiest day of the year, which Transgender Day of Visibility, which we learned is one of 100 other trans days. It's insane. So here's what I would say. 2024 is going to be divisive enough. Do we need more fuel to the fire like this? Culture wars are already permeating throughout America. It's going to happen with trans stuff. It's going to happen with abortion stuff. It's going to happen with women stuff. It's going to happen with gun stuff. Let's not go out of our way to have more wars within the culture wars in America. Last point. We've talked about the decline in American values. There's an image over there. There's been a decline in American values over the last 20 years. Patriotism has declined. Punch in. Religion has declined. Having children has declined. Community involvement has declined significantly. Having children in the last 25 years, 60% down to 30%, cut in half. Community involvement peaked at 62%, now 27%. People are taking selfies and that's making them becoming more selfish. The only thing that has increased is the money. Can't blame me on that. Go back to the money. Can't blame me on that. Go up a little bit. Patriotism. Religion, 62%, down to 39%. Lack of religion, lack of a foundation, lack of Judeo-Christian values. You're talking to somebody that is not exactly the most religious thing. But go back to the patriotism thing. Here's what I stand for. In 1998, we had an all-time high 70% patriots having pride in America. I don't think it's that big of an ask to try our best to return to having pride in America versus celebrating pride nonstop. Is that that big of an ask? I believe in America. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in the freedom of speech. I believe in the freedom of religion. I believe in the freedom of assembly. I believe in the right to pick any sort of race, color, creed, religion, whatever you want, but not at the expense of American values. Patriotism and pride over made-up pride holidays. At the beginning of the segment, we talked about the following. Who won the week? Was it Joe Biden representing the trans community and the woke agenda as the messenger for the trans community on the Trans Visibility Day? Or was it Donald Trump, who clearly goes to church way less than Joe Biden, who's embraced by the evangelicals, who's literally selling Bibles to fund a lawsuit from paying off a porn star? But there's the difference between the messenger and the message. And if you do the math of who won the weekend, it's not even close. It's the president or the party who is defending American values, patriotism, religion, family values, not the party that is defending trans over Easter. That's my final thoughts. Would love to get your thoughts on who you believe won the weekend. Would love to get your thoughts on where you stand on this. If you would like to connect with me or anyone on the Valuetainment team, PBD, Vinny, Tom, Chris Cuomo, new member of the team, or a whole host of experts and business leaders, you can find us on Manect, where you can pay for your questions or your questions will get answered. That is our episode. By the way, Malik, you can check out Malik out there on Manect. Malik, do you have any poll numbers?
Say that again?
Any poll numbers?
Any poll numbers? Last poll I ran was, should J.K. Rowling be in trouble for her views? 90% said no. I agree with that. Like, yep. Just because you have this opinion, you should not.
Walk me through the results of all the polls.
We had the who won the day, the Trump versus Biden. We got the
93%
of that
one. Walk me through the results. Go one by one.
And then I did the Easter and the trans visibility thing. Majority of people were in disagreement with that, along with...
You got some numbers for me?
Yeah, we had... it was 85%.
Go one by one.
Let me go back up really quick. So, first poll. Man, I lost the polls in the chat. All right, yeah. So, first poll was... do you believe trans... I lost the poll. I don't have it right now. Lost it in the chat because people were going crazy.
You cut it off? Is that what you did?
Yeah, cut
you
off.
You detransitioned the polls? Is that what you did, Malik?
Yeah, I detransitioned.
Okay, so what do you remember from the polls?
The one about Trans Visibility Day, 85% said that that should not have fallen on Easter, and that's an insult to God. I remember that now. It came back to me.
Okay.
And then the Trump versus Biden, who won the day, the 93% said Trump, 7% said Biden, and then the final poll
Trump
I ran,
was what?
Trump won the day.
Okay. By what percentage?
93% to 7.
93%. Damn. Yeah.
And then we had J.K. Rowling. Should she be in trouble for her views? We went over this one. 90% said that she should not be in trouble for her views.
So we're in full agreement that this was not a good look for the Biden White House, what Biden administration, and that Trump won the day. Awesome episode. Thanks for being a part of it, Malik. Thank you guys for being a part of it. Like I said at the beginning, I'm a money guy. I'm a relationship guy. I'm a dating guy. But I also understand culture. And this is permeating within the culture. And there's some weird stuff going on right now. So to all my friends celebrating Easter, happy Easter. To all my friends, I don't think there's many of you celebrating Transgender Day of Visibility, enjoy your day. But next time, pick a different day, not Easter. That's it. We're out. Save that money.
It's the SauceCast, baby.